Time now for the weekly edition of the Asia Pacific Report. Joining us on the line, as always, we have Kiro Naidoo. Kiro, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Maulana. Thank you for having me again.
Always a pleasure, Kiro. Let's start with China. Further financial woes in China is the worst yet to come.
Very, very concerning what's happening in China. I've been reading some analyses which are suggesting that this is akin to the 1929 Wall Street crash that precipitated a global recession. Now, what we're seeing is markets in Asia down, the Chinese currency under pressure, a real slowdown in the Chinese economy. And because that is such a huge part of the global economy, the effects of that are going to be felt all over the world. So I don't think we're out of it as yet. The Chinese central bank has taken various measures to stabilize things over there, but still pressure on the stock markets. I see this morning also a kind of resurgence in Wall Street. So hopefully things will balance out. And of course, because we're such a big trader of China's, it's likely that we, South Africa, will also feel the pinch here.
There is this perception generally that China is quite in control of things, especially economically, and that they plan very far ahead. What led to this? Did this catch them unawares?
Well, it goes back to around June when there was something like a 30% knockoff the Chinese stock exchange, and this was all the small investors concerned about where their money was going, and started pulling investments out, and that had a knock-on effect. But these are cycles in the global economy. Just you have your ups and downs, your swings back and forth, and that's the implications that we're seeing now.
Now, South Korea's finance minister has just announced a spike in defense spending. What's the background to this, Kiro?
Well, lots of tensions on the Korean Peninsula between North and South Korea, a matter we've talked about several times now. But it seems that there's some saber rattling from the North, and with this announcement this morning appears to be a sort of concomitant response to that. Now, the finance minister has also said that this new spending won't affect their fiscal discipline or put further pressure on the Treasury. But what's real concern is that this being one of the most heavily militarized zones in the world becomes all the more threatening. And I think that these cross-border talks between the North and the South that's being promoted by, among others, the Americans and the Chinese needs to get much further impetus. But if we were to have any kind of conflict in that part of the world, the reverberations will be felt right across the planet. And keep in mind also, both of these are nuclear-ready nations.
Now, Burma is gearing up for its November elections. What are the prospects for a free and fair election, Kiro?
Very little prospects for an overwhelmingly free and fair election. And that's not on account of what might happen on the election day or not. It's just that the Burmese constitution currently is really written in an unfair way. It drastically prejudices especially the National League for Democracy, whose leader under the current terms will not become president. But just there are structural things wrong in Burma. The dominance of the military in the political system and the dominance ascribed to it in the constitution means that you will never really get a full multi-party democracy. And Burma is also one of the most multi-ethnic states in the world, and the accommodation of the different ethnicities is something they've not got right since independence. And of course, we've also had other issues like the purges against the minority Muslim Rohingya population. So when it comes to human rights, when it comes to the fundamentals of a democratic state, Burma is very far away from that, whether it has elections or not.
What about the chances of Aung San Suu Kyi?
Well, the constitution is written in such a way that because she was married to a foreigner, she doesn't, she's not eligible for that. Now, she still remains the most formidable leader in the country, in my estimation, and she's been touring the length and the breadth of Burma to talk to her supporters and so on. but I don't think that her influence extends far enough to amend the constitution.
So in other words, she cannot become the leader?
Well, she can't become the president of the country. That's the way the constitution is presently written.
Okay, Kira, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated.
Much obliged. Thank
you. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next week.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
That was Kira Naidoo, our Asia-Pacific analyst with the weekly Asia-Pacific Report.